You're listening to the Judicial Watch Weekly Update with Tom Fitton.
Hey everyone, Judicial Watch President Tom Fitton here with our weekly update. Thank you for joining us as always. A lot going on. The big surprise, obviously, and the big news of the week is the removal of Kevin McCarthy as Speaker of the House of Representatives. I'll talk to you about that and what that might portend for the battle for freedom and liberty and protection from government abuse. Plus, big news in the area of Joe Biden's dog. The dog's out of the White House now, and there's been more news about more bites, and Judicial Watch has a new lawsuit, so I'll talk about that. Plus, we have new documents from San Francisco that show an outrageous quota program using tax dollars geared at the Black, Latino, transgenders. You won't believe, maybe you will, given it's San Francisco, what's going on out there. Plus, we have a new lawsuit against the Department of Education, the Biden agency, over its attacks and targeting of parents for daring to oppose pornography and illicit sexual materials being given to children in school libraries and such. So a lot going on here in Washington, D.C. and across the land in terms of Judicial Watch's work against government corruption and on behalf of transparency, integrity, and accountability. And along those lines, we had some big news this week, right? It's just the removal of House Speaker Kevin McCarthy from his office as a result of conservative dissatisfaction with the way he's handled the various shutdown, debt ceiling fights, budgetary fights, and fights about principle. And there's a group of conservatives who didn't trust him, thought he had lied to them, thought he had broken promises. And the big issues that you should know, because as we were talking last week, I did not think a government shutdown would be averted. But it turns out it was averted because Speaker McCarthy went and worked with Democrats who voted for, in large measure, more so than Republicans did, to continuing the funding of the government for the next 45 days or so with virtually no reforms attached. So all of these issues that we were concerned about, none of it was done. Full funding for the FBI, Justice Department, all the abuses you don't like, with the help of Democrats in Congress. And so that was the final straw for a lot of conservatives on the Hill. And that's, I think, one of the reasons he lost his position. And on top of that, previously, you may recall the fight over the debt ceiling, where McCarthy, again, working with Democrats in the House, gave President Biden virtually unlimited debt ceiling room over the next year or two, with no concessions for those of us concerned about the rule of law and the abuses of the Justice Department, the FBI, et cetera, targeting innocent Americans, Donald Trump only being one of them. And so that's twice that McCarthy gave up in the face of establishment and Democratic pressure. And so that's why he's not Speaker anymore. That's my 2 cent, I guess 5 cent maybe analysis, maybe 7.5 cent analysis as to why things are the way they are now. Now, who's running for Speaker? It looks like as of now, Jim Jordan, who is a longtime friend of Judicial Watch's, and Steve Scalise, who's the current majority leader, who survived that shooting from that deranged leftist, you may recall. He's a good man as well. And Kevin Hearn is likely to run. I think he's a congressman from Oklahoma. I don't know him as well. So I don't know who's going to be Speaker. But this is what I do know. I had a statement I gave the other day, or we made available the other day. Why don't we go to that?
Hey everyone, Judicial Watch President Tom Fitton here with an update on the House Speaker race. No, I am not running for Speaker. though I do appreciate all the grassroots support, and it shows that the American people in part want the new House Speaker to uphold the rule of law and defend the Republic. And that means defunding the worst of the Biden corruption and abuses, defunding the effort to jail Trump here in Washington, D.C., and in New York, and in Georgia. It means defunding the border invasion being enabled by Joe Biden with your tax dollars. It means defunding Biden's censorship of tens of millions of Americans. It means protecting the Republic from the abusers in the Biden administration who want to use tax dollars to undermine our constitutional system. The next House Speaker needs to get to work.
Well, needless to say, I agree with me. And if Speaker McCarthy had listened to what Judicial Watch was saying, had listened to me, he'd still be Speaker, frankly. If he had drawn a line in the sand, at least on one thing, saying, well, you know, we're not going to fund the government absent a reform in this area. Pick one. And obviously the Republic is facing multiple threats. But even if he had picked one, I think he would have rallied Republicans to a side of all stripes and gotten through something positive. But instead, it was this utter collapse. And so the challenge for the next speaker is, in my view, that they should be pushing, again, for a line in the sand or highlighting what lines they don't think can be crossed in terms of future government funding fights. What are they willing to fight for? What are they willing to say, no, we won't proceed unless this happens? And specifically, again, as I highlighted in the statement that we showed earlier, we can't wait. They're trying to jail Trump now. The election interference is happening now. The censorship is happening now. The violations of your civil rights are happening now. Our military is being abused now. Unborn babies are being killed with tax dollars now. You name it, this Biden administration is abusing Americans six ways to Sunday. All, as of Saturday, with the full funding of Congress and support. And so now it's going to come up in 45 days, right? And they're going to decide, well, if they don't have all these various appropriation bills settled upon between the House and the Senate, and that's not going to happen. I'm just telling you now, I don't think it's going to happen. There's going to be another continuing resolution fight. And the question for the new speaker should be, before he is elected speaker, what are you going to do? Are you going to do what McCarthy did, which is rule out any possible government shutdown? And the government really never shuts down. Only portions of the government shut down. And of course, they can work it in a way that the shutdown only affects the worst of government, right? As opposed to the government necessities plus could still be funded. Or are they going to just do what McCarthy did, which is, you know, get Democrats with moderate Republicans, liberal Republicans, just to fund government, just keep on keeping on with this terrible situation we're in? I mean, even the Biden administration is getting nervous about the border crisis. They're beginning to build a wall. Maybe take advantage of that issue. Or general concern by Republicans and Democrats about that issue to say no more funding, we're not sending tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens into the interior of the United States. You can't use our money to do that anymore. They can have all sorts of restrictions. Now, some of it is done in the appropriation bills that have been passed by this House already. Like DHS, as I said, you know, they've got some reforms on the immigration. I'm not quite sure on that side of the ledger. I know they have some reforms in terms of prohibiting the censorship. But what about the FBI and DOJ? And all, as I say, all the other abusers in the Biden administration, the civil rights abusers. And not only in the Biden administration, but up in New York State, you see that with Attorney General of New York, Letitia James, who was on a political jihad against President Trump, trying to destroy his businesses. The prosecution by Alvin Bragg. And of course, in Georgia, all of that gets directly or indirectly subsidized by the federal government. I mean, they all benefit from tax dollars. We should be saying we're not supporting offices and agencies that abuse the civil rights of citizens and try to interfere in our elections. Don't you agree? You know, and I was half joking, but you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, Tom Fitton should be speaker. Obviously, I'm not going to be speaker. I'm not running for speaker. But I'm convinced a lot of people support what I want to do, and because they believe in Judicial Watch's mission and they share our general concern that our republic is falling. It's tottering. Some of you may believe it's already tottered and fallen. Either way, we got to build it back up, straighten it up by defunding the worst of the Biden abuses and corruption. So that's my advice to any speaker who wants to be speaker. Now, I guess Donald Trump is interested in being speaker, although I think he endorsed Jim Jordan. I think there's a constitutional question whether someone outside the Congress can be speaker, but I guess my view is if Congress wants to have someone who's outside of Congress be speaker, I don't know how it can be second-guessed under the Constitution, since the House sets its own rules. So it's hard to figure out how that might turn out. But nonetheless, it's likely to be a member of the House from one of the three who are running, right? Now, there may be others who decide to run in the end. But that's what I think the leadership, I think that's what people want out of the Republicans in the House. And obviously, there's a lot more to be done in terms of fighting corruption, accelerating the investigations into Biden corruption. Like, for instance, what Speaker McCarthy should have done last week. Now, there are three committees, for instance, who have been designated as committees to conduct impeachment inquiries into Biden. The Jim Jordan's committee, right? The House Judiciary Committee, James Comer Committee, which is the Oversight Committee, and then Congressman Smith's committee, which is the House Ways and Means Committee. The Department of Homeland Security has jurisdiction over immigration issues, or at least partial jurisdiction. And I would designate them to begin an impeachment inquiry related to President Biden's border invasion and the collapse of our system of protection on the border that has placed so many Americans' lives at risk and is destroying our country. So that's an example of how they need to escalate it. Because right now, there's this kind of go slow approach. I appreciate the impeachment inquiries that have finally been initiated. One of Speaker McCarthy's, in retrospect, will be most significant acts will be having escalated and designated these committees to conduct an impeachment inquiry or impeachment inquiries. But, you know, we just can't have impeachment forever, right? And what about other members of the Biden administration, like Mayorkas or Garland, or the FBI director, Wray? Have they committed any impeachment any impeachable offenses? I would say someone like Mayorkas, it's a pretty easy call. You don't need to do much of an investigation. So I think they really need to accelerate those issues, and they can't move fast enough. And a speaker needs to commit to really ramping it up, because a lot of the investigations were slowed down a little bit, or some would say a lot, by Speaker McCarthy. You know, he was in favor of some investigations, but you have to remember some of these, you know, he's more of a Main Street Republican, as they like to say. These investigations make them nervous, so they were not nearly as aggressive as they could have been. Certainly not as aggressive as they would have been if Judicial Watch were running them. So my advice to all politicians, Democrat and Republican, is follow Judicial Watch's lead. Take government corruption seriously. Take threats to our civil liberties seriously. Take the collapse on our border seriously. Defund it. Punish those responsible who broke the law or broke their oaths of offices. You know, they know what to do. They know what to do. The question is there a political will to do it? And I suspect there could be as a result of Mr. McCarthy being removed. because he would not have been removed. Let's put it this way. This wouldn't have happened 6 weeks ago. It wouldn't have happened even 4 months ago or 5 months ago because McCarthy didn't have this record of not wanting to confront these issues as directly as they should have. The record wasn't there yet. But now the record's there, and it's been rejected. And so you've got some interesting new candidates. I don't want to personally endorse anyone. But I'm not running. I don't think Donald Trump is running. So there'll be three or four guys who are running. And we'll have a Speaker of the House, presumably sometime next week. And let's just hope they're paying attention to this video, right? But you can help, right? So I want you to do two things. Remember, I don't know what you think about who should be House Speaker. You should let your members know, because they're not going to be asking for your vote, the House Speakers. Their votes are all in the House there, right? And so to the degree you want to participate, you got to talk to your members and say, this is who we think should be Speaker. But secondly, just know there's this issue that's coming up, as it was with the continuing resolution that was passed last Saturday. Are we going to fight for our republic through this budget process in a serious way? And the can's been kicked down the road a little bit, right? And the goal of the establishment is to kick it again down the road to a continuing resolution past November and into the Christmas holiday. And then come Christmas, everyone hates to be around here for Christmas, so they pass another continuing resolution that gets us through they'll say, oh, we have to wait till after the election. And everything Biden wants to do gets fully funded. Jack Smith gets fully funded. The censors get fully funded. The border invasion gets fully funded. Fannie Willis in Fulton County gets her pot of federal money. They get their pots of federal money up in New York, you name it. And if that's okay with you, I guess that's nothing I can do to persuade you. But I don't think it would be okay with you. So you've got to share your views with your members of Congress repeatedly over the next few weeks. 202-225-3121. Share them on, I guess, I don't know if they'll be working on Monday because it's Columbus Day. But give them a call on Monday. You may not be able to get through. But certainly on Tuesday, 202-225-3121, 202-225-3121. Let your views be heard on the speakership race, and let your views be heard on whether or not they should defund Biden corruption and abuse. So there. The other big news this week was Joe Biden's darn dog, Commander. What a nightmare. And really another indication just how depraved President Biden is when it comes to the safety and security of the people around him that he's responsible for as President of the United States, who has to run that operation in the White House. And here's some news reports that showed how the issue escalated.
In a new development, Commander Biden, the president's two-year-old German Shepherd, has been removed from the White House after a string of biting incidents, at least a dozen involving Secret Service personnel. The statement came shortly after CNN, citing multiple sources, reported that Commander has been involved in more biting incidents than previously acknowledged at the White House.
Commander has bitten another Secret Service agent. It is the 11th known biting incident involving the two-year-old German Shepherd at the White House and in Delaware.
Now, Judicial Watch first uncovered that the dog was out of control back in July. We'd begun asking for records in the early part of the year, and they stonewalled us. I think we had to sue, and we finally got the records and showed there were at least 10 attacks as of July. And the Biden people at the time said, oh, we're going to take care of it, don't worry, which, of course, wasn't acceptable for any other American citizen. 10 people get bitten or attacked, and you keep the dog? No, that's not the way it's supposed to work. Sure enough, they didn't do anything, or whatever they did didn't work. And not only was another Secret Service agent, and who knows how many other staff attacked, but again, they still hadn't done anything to protect the people around them. And of course, CNN is, and the Biden gang is trying to blame the Secret Service for this. You know, it was a few weeks ago. I don't know if you saw the story. I don't know if I talked about it on here. But Biden was out there, and he was in an interview. Maybe it was for a book. And he had suggested that the Secret Service had exaggerated commanders attacking them. Now, prior to that, Judicial Watch had uncovered that Major had attacked many more people than had been acknowledged, and Major had been shipped off to the farm. I don't know where he is now. And the Biden White House was caught lying about the attacks then. Commander comes in. We get a tip. The dog's out of control there. And who does the Biden gang blame? The Secret Service, the victims of the dog bites. Even CNN's reporting this week, they talk about, oh, the dog's afraid of the Secret Service, these big guys with guns. This is the dog can know what a gun is. I mean, unbelievable. Your dog bites another person and you blame the person? This is from the CNN report. The president and the first lady care deeply about the safety of those who work at the White House and those who protect them every day. They remain grateful for the patience and support of the U.S. Secret Service and all involved as they continue to work through solutions. Commander is not presently on the White House campus while next steps are evaluated. So I don't know where the dog is now. The dog can't be anywhere near the Secret Service, can't be near anywhere where the president and his family are, because there are too many people around the president, and it's not too many people, meaning too much security, too many people for the dog. The dog is a menace. We are lucky no one's been killed. At least one person has been treated at the hospital. I mean, at one point, there was a, in one of the previous attacks, I think the agent was like using his forearm and the dog was grasping onto his forearm. I mean, imagine a dog grabbing onto your arm like that, the nightmare of that. And he's trying to tell us they care about their safety. They didn't do anything. And in Delaware, you know, if he's up at the house in Delaware, where the president spends 40% of his time, ton of Secret Service and other support staff up there. One of the incidents that we had uncovered, the dog, because German Shepherds are really smart. If you've had a German Shepherd, they're smart dogs. I think it was a Secret Service technician, a video technician, security technician, came to the front door. It's not clear who was at the front door, but the person was at the front door. The dog slipped around and bit the guy on the back. And so we're glad 6 months after Judicial Watch, 5 months after Judicial Watch first exposed it in July, now the commander may be in a place not where he can potentially seriously hurt or worse, innocence. But here we've got a Biden administration, a Biden White House that's oblivious, blaming the Secret Service. And as I said in the CNN story, they said it's contributed to a combustible situation between the Secret Service and the Bidens, as if the Secret Service is doing something wrong because 10, 11 of their agents were attacked. And in the Biden, and then the Daily Mail, I think, had a story showing the dog biting someone else's arm. I don't know if we can pull that up. You can yell at me over the speaker if you can pull that up. It's not clear. It's not clear if you'll probably be able to see it. You can just Google it. And it's not clear if it was a friendly bite or not. But you don't. Dogs should not be biting people. I don't. And do me a favor. I want you to go ahead and look up your local rules and regulations about dangerous dogs. Here in the District of Columbia, it's pretty clear if the rules were followed, if they applied to the White House, and it's unclear if they do or not, they probably don't, the dog would have been designated a dangerous dog and removed. And You know, so now this is the second or third, this is at least the second dog where there had been issues. As I said, Major had also been biting. He had to be removed, and then this dog. Now, people, I remember people early on were saying, well, it's not the dog, it's the owner. Well, sometimes it's the dog, you know, and the owner doesn't, you know, sometimes you get a shepherd or a dog, especially that type of dog that has that guard dog mentality is bred, and they're just bred in a way that whatever line the dog came from, there's nothing you can do. Genetically, they're going to be aggressive. But we heard from a source that Biden mistreats his dogs. And this is what we said in our release this week. I want to stick to the release so I don't give away the source. According to a Judicial Watch source, President Biden has mistreated his dogs. Judicial Watch has learned he has punched and kicked his dogs. Okay? Now, we wouldn't have put that out there unless we had good reason to believe it was true and we didn't have a reliable source. And as folks told CNN and as Judicial Watch was telling you months ago, this is a workplace safety issue. You know, the CEO of a company bringing their dog in and he starts biting all the employees, what do you think would happen to the CEO or the dog? So what next? Judicial Watch is sued. We just sued again for more records. As I said, we had records, you know, from the beginning part of the year that showed 10 bites. Now CNN's reporting at least one other agent was bitten. And who knows how many other staff. And if the Secret Service supposedly is telling folks they don't keep a record, well, they do keep records. They do. You can bet they have the records. And Judicial Watch had asked for the records, and once again, we were stonewalled for months, and so we sued again. Acquired in December 2021, Commander, pure blood, that's the vaccine stuff, right? A purebred German Shepherd replaced another German Shepherd, Major, which was reportedly given to family friends following a series of attacks on Secret Service and White House staff. In April of 2022, Judicial Watch released records detailing multiple attacks and damages to Secret Service members by Major at both the White House and Biden's Lake Home in Wilmington. In July, we uncovered the records from the Homeland Security Department, which is the agency that oversees the Secret Service. So the Secret Service is a sub-agency of DHS. In a related lawsuit, which revealed 10 attacks by Biden's German Shepherd between October 22nd and January 2023. So what happens is we updated the FOIA, say, give us records that happened of attacks that happened after the beginning of the year, and that's when they stonewalled us. So that's where we are now. And so we sued for the records. For instance, the records included, this is why they don't want to give us more records because of what we had previously uncovered. They included an email exchange between a uniformed division officer and their November 3rd attack victim. The first officer asked, "Doing all right, blank? That's freaking crazy. That stupid dog rolling my eyes, blank." The victim replied, "My leg and arm still hurt. He bit me twice and ran at me twice." The colleague replied, "What a joke, blank. If it weren't their dog, he would already have been put down. Freaking clown needs a muzzle. Hope you get the feeling better." I mean, you had Secret Service agents trying to hide behind chairs. And I remember with Major, you know, the concern was that someone was going to have to shoot the dog to defend themselves. I mean, these are law enforcement officers. And their job, oh, there you go. That's the story that came out, the picture that came out this week. Does that look like a friendly bite to you? I guess you can be the judge of that. But a dog practices real biting by engaging in friendly biting, right? And we know that the German Shepherd commander was doing the real biting. So as I was saying, the Secret Service is supposed to be protecting Biden. And, you know, imagine Biden's in the center of a circle, right? Secret Service agents guarding him, right? Do you want your Secret Service agents protecting your president to have to worry about having a loaded weapon, which is what a German Shepherd is, who is vicious, attacking them from behind? That's the situation a Secret Service was in. In fact, according to CNN, there were certain areas of the White House that they kept away from when the dog was present. So let me be clear here. They are supposed to protect every place in the White House, the entire facility, the entire complex. But because of this darn dog, the White House complex was not fully protected because the Secret Service personnel couldn't go into the area where the dog was. So this is a government corruption scandal. We had federal law enforcement officers abused, attacked by this dog. No one came in to defend them other than Judicial Watch. And I guess someone got fed up and talked to CNN finally. The agency still continues to cover up for Joe. We have new evidence that Joe is abusing his dog and has abused all three of the dogs, by the way. It wasn't just Major, but also Commander, obviously, and then the dog before that, Champ, who passed away. So the poor Secret Service, they're treated like dirt by Joe Biden. They are seen as a political organization, obviously by the president's staff, treated like furniture. Because otherwise, why would you let the dog maul your furniture in the Secret Service? I mean, that's the Biden way, right? And we saw more recently the Secret Service, basically was embarrassed into this fake investigation of the cocaine in the Biden White House. And then they're told they can't defend, as Judicial Watch uncovered, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., despite them, Kennedy, obviously, besides his name making him a heightened risk, putting him at heightened risk for attack when he's running for president, he was getting threats from known subjects that the FBI, the Secret Service knew about, and he still wasn't offered protection by this Biden regime. The Secret Service has been abused and politicized by Joe Biden. Abused in the sense of withheld protection from Kennedy, politicized in that respect as well, and obviously abused by allowing his dog to bite those agents with impunity. Impunity. And how do I know it's impunity? Because they're attacking the Secret Service now. They're defending the dog. So I'll let you know if we get anything from this lawsuit. I think we will. So poor Commander. I know no one wants to see the dog put to sleep or deprived of the family that he loves. I'm sure he loves the Bidens and some of the staff at the White House. But he's a menace. He is an absolute menace. And I'm more concerned about the people he bit rather than the dog, frankly. Especially in these circumstances. As I said in our statement, let's be blunt, this dangerous dog could have killed someone, and the ongoing administration cover-up of the Biden dog attacks on Secret Service agents is a dangerous scandal. Because what are you going to do, bring in another dog who's going to get abused by Biden? And then he's attacking Secret Service agents again? Maybe they should pass a law banning Biden from owning dogs. I say that half jokingly, but I mean, gosh. Man. So we got some documents from San Francisco going across the country. To that poorly run city that is a hellhole created by liberal left policies that are anti-American, anti-citizen, pro-criminal, and downright communist in many respects.
and the city and its residents are suffering. There's been wild abuse of tax dollars in San Francisco over the years. Most recently, we have new records that show that San Francisco was using tax dollars to prioritize tax money to Black/Latino transgenders in guaranteed income program. We received 1,700 pages of records. I didn't print them all out for you, but they're all on the internet. You can get them. From the city of San Francisco, showing that the city prioritizes tax money, as I said, for Black, Latino, transgenders, biological men. Of course, in the documents, they call them transgender women to make it seem like biological women are getting the benefits when they're not. It's men, biological men, in a program that distributes literally free money to transgender individuals. I mean, this isn't like a loan program or they get subsidized. No, they get cash cards. The records show that the taxpayer-funded Guaranteed Income for Trans People program, GIFT, also allowed illegal aliens to apply. So the border invasion enabled and furthered and aided and abetted by the San Francisco government allowed people to engage in survival sex trades to apply. So prostitutes and pimps and such. And the use of funds by participants is virtually unrestricted, meaning they get cash and no one checks to see how the money's spent. We obtained the records through a California public records request to the Office of Treasurer and Tax Collector for San Francisco. Records and communications regarding the application and approval process for transgender, non-binary, gender non-conforming, and intersex individuals receiving guaranteed income for transgendered people benefits. I mean, I can't believe we have to file a FOIA request defining people like that, but that's what the government is doing in San Francisco. And we wanted records and communications regarding the administration of the funds to participants in the process. Now, Mayor London Breed announced the launch of the Guaranteed Income for Trans People program on November 16th of 2022. The mayor's office stated in a press release that the city would provide low-income transgender San Franciscans with $1,200 per month. Do you get $1,200 per month from the government? I suspect you don't. Up to 18 months to help address financial insecurity within trans communities. So this is a way to subsidize transgender extremism. And it is extremism. And I want to say something clear here. These radical transgender treatments, mutilation or hormone treatments, are experimental. They cannot, no individual or someone speaking on behalf of an individual, meaning a child, can give informed consent to those treatments. And the fact that they're allowed is a failure of law and medical ethics. And here we have the San Franciscan government subsidizing it most directly. And on top of that, they're engaging in illegal discrimination, it looks like. We have a document from the office of the mayor's the Office of Housing and Community Development out of the mayor's office. Selected participants in this program will identify as transgender and extremely low income. Within this population, there will be a specific focus on Black and Latinx, which is an offensive name, transgender women, meaning biological males. A monthly $1,200 stipend will be provided to participants so they may focus on their basic physical and mental health and wellness without worrying about income. Boy, good money if you can get it, huh? Prepaid cards are being utilized because some participants may not have bank accounts. So basically, they're just getting cash on a card, right? It's like getting a gift card. This time, tax dollars. The collaborative leading this program, collaborative, you know, there's your commie language, will focus on target populations of low-income transgender, non-binary, gender non-conforming, and intersex individuals residing in San Francisco County. And this is the kicker here. The program, and this is emphasis in the original here, will prioritize enrollment and retention of BIPOC, Black Indigenous People of Color, trans and non-binary people who also engage in survival sex trades, living with disabilities, elders living with HIV/AIDS, undocumented monolingual Spanish speakers, formerly incarcerated and unhoused and marginally housed. And then later, the program enrollment will ensure 55 participants, the 55 participants, I guess this is the beginning of it, is 66 BIPOC, at least 30% Black trans women, and at least 20% Latinx trans women. So men, right? Don't be fooled. They're not helping women. They're helping men who are identifying for whatever reason as women. And they're requiring that we have quotas for men, not women, that the program have quotas for men, not women, who call themselves transgendered. So they have quotas based on race and sex as they give out $1,200 cash payments for up to 18 months. So how much money is that? That's 10, that's 12,000, and another 1,400. So that's nearly $15,000 in cash. Just because they identify as a Black person who's transgendered, not a transgendered male, female identifying as a male, but a transgendered female who's a male identifying as a female. Insanity. It's like they're funding the destruction of civilization. And these poor people who, frankly, need our prayers, given what's happening and what they're being encouraged to participate in and what to do by these this extremist narrative and fanaticism. I mean, our entire culture is pushing this now. Biden administration, culturally, in the movies, and television, and in schools and elsewhere. Of course, then they get confused about the names. They rely on confusion, right? So you can't morally highlight the abuses of women and men and children through this transgender extremism. One guy is writing, I say he's a guy, I don't know. My understanding is that the city will allow a provider to enroll participants using their chosen name versus legal name, and it may be very challenging for someone to put their dead name on the card. So I think we can provide more context. When you use the card in person, you may be asked to verify your ID. If you don't have ID that matches the name on your card, you could be turned away. So they were worried that people might have to give their real names. So it goes on. You can read more about it online at judicialwatch.org. This is your tax money at work. Part of the money goes to some crazed equity assessment program that assesses leadership competencies in the areas of diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging. Belonging, that's a new one for me. And there was all department-wide analysis of this. So that, you know, when you go, you can't, for the communists, you can never just be a little bit communist. It's either all or nothing. And to presume that this is all just minor reform, no, they come in and they want to remake the institutions that they target. So this transgender extremism is part of this massive communist conspiracy and revolution that's going on in our schools, in our military, in our government, in the entertainment industry, etc. And they brook no opposition. They are violent. You see transgender extremists being involved in violence all the time.
And they say, and one way you can tell they're violent is because they say critics of them are violent, meaning words are violence. And by saying that someone is engaged in violence by criticizing them, it justifies attacking them with violence. That's the way the left operates. So we're not done with this. I don't know if we're going to sue for records. This is an example of where we got records without having to sue. So good for San Francisco, right? But there may be legalities that need pursuing by Judicial Watch or others in terms of the discrimination that they commit to. Giving money based on race and sex in violation of the Constitution of the United States of America and California's Constitution going on in San Francisco right now as part of this transgender extremist agenda. Let's see what I said in my comment here. Maybe I said something even better. Well, I didn't. So we do have a new lawsuit. It's a related matter in part, out against the Department of Education. We filed it on behalf of the Daily Caller News Foundation, which is a journalism entity that we've helped and litigated with and on behalf in the past. And we asked for records about specifically the book banning issue, or the non-issue. And a group called Moms for Liberty and Ron DeSantis down in Florida. And as you may know from following the news, the left is aflame because parents are concerned about illicit sexual materials and other inappropriate materials for children being given their children or being made available to their children in libraries and schools and elsewhere. And Ron DeSantis has engaged in some reforms in Florida. And representatives of Florida citizens have changed the laws and rules to protect children more significantly. And other American citizens are noting the pornography in schools and trying to get it limited. But the sexual extremists who are in league with the left and the teachers unions and now the Biden administration are pretending that's some sort of First Amendment crisis by trying to protect children from sexually explicit materials, age inappropriate materials, and pornography. I mean, they're on the side of, you know, demons as far as I'm concerned. We filed the lawsuit in the United States District Court for the District of Columbia, which is the court, federal court here in Washington, D.C. All email requests, including attachments, URL links, and electronic database links of Miguel Cardona, to or from. Now, Miguel Cardona is the education secretary for President Biden. To or from the president of the National Education Association, Rebecca Becky Pringle, and president of the American Federation of Teachers, Rhonda Randy Weingarten, from June 1st, 2023 through July 15th, 2023. And basically, we want all communications about book bans or book banning, all communications about Moms for Liberty and or Ron DeSantis. And then we also wanted records for his communications with the head of the American Library Association, Emily Drabinsky, who is an extreme leftist who's now running the American Library Association. And all the lefties and the media are getting upset because states and localities are asking themselves, why are we working with the American Library Association that's pushing porn on children? What's really frustrating about this case, as I look at it, and I noted it when we filed the release, is that we asked for records for emails for a period of 6 weeks. Okay? How many emails could there have been or communications between a cabinet secretary and three people over the course of 6 weeks, right? Even if it's as bad as I imagine, it's only a handful. And they don't care what the rules require in terms of disclosure and transparency under the Freedom of Information Act. This is an example of how much contempt for the rule of law
federal agencies have when it comes to transparency. And I'm not going to say it's a Democrat issue or a Republican issue, because both political parties do it when they're in control of the presidency. There's zero respect for FOIA and transparency. On July 4th, 2023, Education Week reported on a speech Cardona gave on July 3rd in Orlando, Florida, at the NEA's annual representative assembly. So he was down at the big teachers union event. He addressed statements. Cardona addressed statements regarding woke ideology and indoctrinating students made by Republican presidential candidates at the Moms for Liberty National Conference in the days prior to the NEA event. Now, so the Moms for Liberty is a great group. It's a great grassroots group. It's kind of newish, but it's growing because moms are concerned about liberty. As we note in the press release, they were initially found, got together to, I didn't realize it was so new. It's only been around since 2021, and it's already one of the leading grassroots groups on these parents' rights issues. And it was founded by two former school board members. The group was initially found to go against, you know, the mask mandates and school closures in Florida schools. And then they expanded its mission to support parental rights legislation to give parents more say in their children's education. And the parents group has come under increasing attack by the extremist left. And the left is, it's calling it an extremist group and suggesting they're all terrorists. Moms going out there and making sure their little kids aren't being abused by sex talk in schools. So Cardona went over there to the NEA and basically made a crazy speech. Cardona dismissed the concerns that I was raising as, quote, divisive drama, slamming conservative policymakers who have pushed for book bans, restrictions on instruction about racism, limitations on the rights of LGBTQ plus students, and school choice priorities that divert public money to private schools. So the public teachers unions have moved beyond getting raises for teachers to opposing charter schools, obviously. They don't like school choice in education. They also are fully behind this radical movement to sexualize children with pornography and other sexually explicit activities through their teachers. And there's no limit as to how young they'll go. Like I said, demonic. The Biden administration can't be allowed to hide this information from the American people, said Daily Caller News Foundation editor-in-chief Michael Bastek. Citizens have a right to know if their government is plotting against moms or working behind the scenes to keep pornographic books in school. So that's what our client says. This lawsuit, is what I say, aims to uncover the truth about the desperate new effort by the Biden administration and its leftist teachers union allies to smear and target parents who oppose sexually explicit and other extremist content being made available to school children. So we already have a separate lawsuit against the FBI over their using various systems available to them to target American parents, supposedly based on teachers' union fronts. This is the School Board Association. You may remember they started targeting parents as terrorists. So we have a lawsuit on that. But here we have the Education Department obviously collaborating and colluding with the major teachers' unions, who are big-time donors to the Democratic Party, which is their right, right? But the American people have a right to know what the government's doing with these groups, especially if it means abusing our kids. So we're proud to file this lawsuit with the Daily Caller News Foundation. We're proud to be behind Moms for Liberty and trying to protect them indirectly by exposing the targeting of them. You shouldn't have to worry about the government coming after you if you want to defend your kid from government abuse. This is America. And this is another example of how these budget fights that we are hearing about in Washington, D.C., with the continuing resolutions, appropriations bills, and whether the government should be shut down. I don't know about you, but I would shut down the federal government forever to protect children from being sexualized with federal tax dollars. And I think you agree with me, don't you? So these are the types of battles we're involved in. And of course, we only do it with your support. And I really thank you for your support, because we're able to file these lawsuits, help citizens, help journalists like our friends at the Daily Caller News Foundation, protect law enforcement. We're trying to protect Secret Service agents by exposing what that darn dog was doing, attacking them and injuring them. Only Judicial Watch is able to do this type of work. Only Judicial Watch. Congress sometimes does it, but they're usually a day late and dollar short, if at all. So if you like this work, like what we're doing, I encourage you to support us by going to our website at judicialwatch.org, judicialwatch.org, and make a donation. Otherwise, get the information out. Another way you can support us is by sharing this video, liking this video, commenting on this video. There's nothing the left hates more than seeing my videos for Judicial Watch. They hate them. And so that to me tells you that they're effective, right? So share them and educate your fellow Americans about the crisis we're in and about what their government's up to. With that, I'll see you here next week. And by the way, happy Columbus Day. I don't want to neglect Christopher Columbus and the celebration of the bringing of Western civilization to the Americas. I remember the 500th anniversary of Columbus was noted by the church as the 500th anniversary of the evangelization of the Americans, of the Americas. So I guess this is the 500, 1492 is 500 years, it's been 30 years. So this is the 531st anniversary of the bringing of Western civilization to the Americas. Now, the left hates that. That's why they're attacking Christopher Columbus, because they hate Western civilization. They want to destroy it. So I encourage you to celebrate and commemorate Christopher Columbus's discovering of America, because the left hates it, and their attack on it is an attack on everything you hold dear as an American, believe you me. With that, I'll see you here next week on the Judicial Watch Weekly Update.
Thanks for listening to the Judicial Watch Weekly Update with Tom Fitton. For more information, visit www.judicialwatch.org, because no one is above the law.